And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
A bootleg. Fields looking for the corner. He's got it. And the Bears have an opening drive touchdown.
Yeah, one of the youngest young guys on this play, Mercedes Lewis, number 84. Watch him here at the tight end spot. Watch how he holds the edge. That's what allows everything to happen. That gets Justin Fields to the outside. He's got the run-throw choice. Chooses to run it in for six.
Out of his own end zone. Intercepted by Zach Barrett. Fighting at the goal line for a pick six. That just might seal the deal for Tampa.
That's the risk you run when you do the inside screen. Is somebody kind of dropping back off, kind of recognizing that. Dissecting the play and then just dropping back into the throwing lane. That's exactly what Shaquille Barrett did.
With a minute seven to go, they're going to run that clock out. So they're looking at 2-0. A year, as we talked about, a lot of people said, Tom Brady's not there anymore. Baker Mayfield, we know what he is. But looking at being 2-0.
It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, live and local for you until 5 a.m. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Despite what you were experiencing 2 minutes ago on a Sunday, today, right now, it is officially a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. It's going to be a great Monday here on 670 The Score. First and foremost, Baby T, Tyler Ferengall, our producer today, open up the phone lines. That has to be number one thing out the gate. Because I know you are feeling something. And the fact of the matter is, after game one against Green Bay, we all felt disgusted. This we knew already. It was a collective. We all felt the same way. But after week two, you kind of were already uncertain whether or not the Bears would win. Whereas week one, there was a level of certainty that existed. So my question to you is, how are you feeling about the Bears after week two? I know how you felt after week one. Disgusted. You couldn't wait for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game to start. And here we are. Bears lose 27-17 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their 12th loss in a row, dating back to last season. First time ever that's happened where teams have allowed over 25 points. It really is getting ugly out there. So again, I'm curious what you're feeling, right? How are you feeling about this Bears team after week two? You saw what you saw from Justin Fields, from Luke Getsy, from DJ Moore, from the defense. You saw some guys go down. I know how I'm feeling. And it is the level of disappointment that I feel is what is really bothersome. And disappointed because we put these expectations on our quarterbacks and on our stars here in the city. And then they don't reach those expectations. And it's so hard to move on from someone. We see it often. We see it happening so often. And trust me, I'm going to get into some Justin Fields thoughts so early in the season. And usually you think these are moments for panic. But our eyes are not deceiving us. We see a product on the field. And I'm going to explain why we should be prepared to move on. We'll get to that in a second. Again, Gabe Ramirez here, 670 The Score, taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Sheik, my guy, out there in Westtown. Sheik, what up, man? What's the word? You're not giving up on Fields yet, huh?
No, man. I mean, I'm super depressed. I'm going to do some crazy stuff tomorrow. But, I'm not giving up on Fields yet. But 12 losses in a row, man, this is, like, you know, my family thinks I'm an idiot because I avoid all Sunday activities for this team. And it's been like this for 4 decades of my life that I've been a serious Bears fan. And
so wait. So you've spent 4 decades of your life watching this game. So why aren't you giving up on field? Don't you have, 40 years of a sample size of being able to see a quarterback and being able to say, because not only have you watched the Bears, but you've watched the league. So you're able to say, I know what a quarterback that is really good in this league. I know what that looks like, and I know what that isn't. And so I'm confused as to why you are not giving up. Not that you're not giving up, but why you still feel like he can be that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, football is ultimate team sport, as you know, go Lane. But anyway, so it's more than just Fields. But I've seen enough talent in Fields to realize in my 4 decades and as being a terrible meatball Bear fan, you know, there's been Vince Evans, Jim McMahon, you know, Jay Cutler, Eric Kramer had a year, Jim Miller, that 1 year at Illinois when we played, when they were redoing the stadium, he was still.
Right. But wait. We don't need history lessons here. You know what I'm saying? We need in the present. Like I need something I can look at. Here's the problem, Sheik, and you and I know each other, so we talk about Bears a lot. Here's the problem with Justin Fields, and I was trying to explain this to somebody today when I was watching the game. And it is that there are baseball players out there that can get a hit. There are baseball players out there that can hit a home run. The problem is, and the reason why they're not in the league or why they get sent back down to the minors, is they can't do it consistently enough. So with Justin Fields, the point where I'm at right now is he can throw a touchdown. He can use his legs to get first downs. The problem is he can't do it consistently enough for me to then say this is that guy. Does he have spurts? Sure. So did Miles Mastroboni. So, you know what I'm saying? So did Matt Mervis at certain points during the year. But the fact of the matter is they're in the minors because they can't do it consistently, and that's where I think Justin Fields is at right now.
So it's just I don't want to give up on a kid that's only 25 in today's world because
what?
Like even in another sport like the Bulls, how many players in the last 6-7 years have the Bulls given up on when they were before 25 and they go somewhere else and they're like at least serviceable to above average? You know, Markkanen, the power forward on the Magic, a few other guys. I'm just saying I would like to give Fields at least a half a year, or at least, you know, if they're the other problem is the scheme, even on defense, they keep preaching us that we need a 3 technique. We don't have it, but there's plenty of other teams in the NFL that run a 4-3 base defense that don't have a super stud 3 technique and are way more effective. I don't know why the coaching staff and the scheme, both offensively and defensively, they seem so fixated on trying to make their scheme work. And I'm sure Fields, more than half of it is his fault. But I also feel that there's schemes that can make both the defense and the offense better to play to the team, you know, like Claypool. You know, he can't block, but that's okay. He's a wide receiver. Not every wide receiver is a great blocker. I don't remember seeing Randy Moss crack blocking anybody, but you know, St. Brown's not even active today, but they got Velus Jones for 1 jet sweep. Really?
I get it. Thanks for the call, Sheik. I know you can go on forever, man. But hey, Sheik, I'm going to be on till 5 in the morning. So call back next hour so we can have another discussion. But listen to me on the Odyssey app. Take me with you everywhere you go, and we can continue this discussion. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score, live and local for you. Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-17. Taking your calls right now. Just curious, like, what your feelings are on this Chicago Bears team. After 2 weeks, you thought they were going to be 2-0. You were literally checking off those boxes that they send you, and you're like, oh, W, first 2 weeks. And then you're like, oh, they're going to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. Bears will be 2-1 after 3 weeks. Let's go back to the phones. Aaron out in Lansing. So, Aaron, I, like you, when I talked to Mark Grody, thought to myself, you know, because Mark Grody said, if the Bears start off 3-5, like, everyone is going to be up in arms about this squad. And I said, no way. I said, no one's, no, this year isn't about the playoffs. This year is about continued growth. But here we are at 0-2. Do you still feel that way, that this year is about continued growth?
Yes. Yes. All you have to do is look at the draft. All you have to do is look at the fact that they didn't draft the best offensive lineman on the board to know that this year was about growth. I'm sorry, Bears fans. I get it. Y'all looked at the schedule and y'all said, oh, my God, this is going to be from worst to first. No, it is not. And look, here's the thing. This is where you have to judge it at. Were you emotionally invested in the fourth quarter? The answer to any Bears fan is yes, you had a chance to win. He threw a pick six. He's a young quarterback. Did Justin Fields have a great game? No. But did the coordinator call a great game? No. I mean, look, it is very simple. Sometimes all you have to do is call some run plays, and it'll make a good quarterback. It'll make a young quarterback look better. I don't know how many screen passes you got to throw to realize that they're not working at the moment. You know, switch it up. I have yet to see them be in a rhythm because I don't think the person that's calling the plays are in a rhythm. But at the end of the day, if the Bears win 6-7 games, is it better than 3? Yes. Is it growth? Yes. This is not what – I don't know what y'all thought, but I've been telling Bears fans, and I get kicked out of all the groups, that this was not the year to look for the Bears to win. So I feel just fine because I was –
Aaron, you keep saying y'all. So who's your team?
Yeah. I'm a Bears fan. So, when I say y'all, I'm talking to Chicago Bears fans who are listening to 670 to score.
But you should be speaking from a we standpoint because y'all sounds like you're a Packers fan.
Crapping on us. Oh,
okay.
Please don't never disrespect
That's
me
what
like
I'm saying.
That.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I have to say y'all because there's Bears fans who think logical, and then there's Bears fans who think logical all the way up until the season starts and forget that you guys have been preparing us for this all year when y'all was like 7-9. Now, you give me one person on the score that picked the Bears to finish over 500. Now, wait. Because we all looked at it and said they won 3 games last year. This was never going to be a worst to first team.
Yeah, Aaron, but I think the big gap between what you're saying and what the beliefs were, right, is the way the Bears are losing. And it'd be one thing.
No, you're not. No.
Hold on, Aaron. You can't call the station and try to talk for 8 minutes straight, right? We have to have a conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
So you got to be right.
So once I get one sentence out, you can't cut me off to then continue to talk again, right? So what I'm trying to tell you is this: it's the way they're losing, right? So even if I said the Bears are gonna, I said my number was 8, and I said it could be 9 or 7, right? I said I thought the Bears would be in that space. But I thought they'd be close games. I thought they'd be competitive still. That was the difference 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Bears were getting embarrassed every single weekend. Last year, at least the Bears were kind of just playing, and you felt, like you said, emotionally invested in the fourth quarter. That I felt good about. So when I say 7-9, I'm saying, okay, well, I got embarrassed 2 years ago. I was emotionally invested in fourth quarters last year. This year, at least there should be some damn games. These aren't even games. Okay. This is disgust. Like you said, the offensive coordinator we're upset at. Justin Fields isn't performing well. The way this team is losing is what we're emotionally invested in and emotionally frustrated with. Not the fact that Justin Fields isn't our guy. It's that the Bears are not even trending towards a team that can be competing towards the playoffs.
In this game, if we're just going to talk about this game, not last week because that was last week, in this game, were you emotionally invested in the last 2 minutes of the ball game?
Yes, because I'm a sick and twisted Bears fan. But ask those same Bears fans, did they genuinely think that Justin Fields was going to drive 93 yards to put a tutty up on the board? No, they were hoping for it, just like a kid hopes their dad's going to come home on Christmas when he abandons him at 5 years old. But the fact of the matter is, Papa was a Rolling Stone, Aaron. Papa was a rare Rolling Stone, and he is not coming back. And that's what the issue is right here. That's the biggest difference. Aaron, I appreciate it, man. You got thoughts like Aaron? Call us up right now, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local right here on a Monday, a football Monday on 670 The Score. I'm going to get to your phone calls in just a second. Text messages you can text in too. But it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank. And it's not a game, Illinois.com. It doesn't just stop here. I'm going all the way to 5 a.m. I got Diet Pepsis. I got Taco Burrito King. Tyler Ferengul holding us down. But we have an awesome Monday for you guys. Hall and Grody. Grody's in for Mudley today. They're going to have Dan Wiederer, 6:44. Olin Krutz at 7 o'clock. And then DJ Moore is going to be talking at 8 o'clock. Like, talk about setting an alarm. DJ Moore, don't you want to hear from him? The man goes over 100 yards. It's going to be must-listen-to radio. Then Bernstein and Holmes. Right after that, they have Anthony Herron at 11. And then Dan Wiederer making his rounds again at noon with Bernsey and Holmes. Then Parkinson Spiegel. Look at Mark Grody. A lot of people doing double duty here. Dan Wiederer going to be on at 6:44 and at noon. Mark Grody's going to do the morning show, then come on with Parkinson Spiegel at 4 o'clock. And then Jalen Johnson, two Chicago Bears players, current Chicago Bears players, talking right here to our guys. It's going to be a great football Monday. Make sure you're here for it. But again, we're taking your calls right now. Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-17. And I'm just curious, you know, how are you feeling about this Chicago Bears team? I know how you felt after week one. It was disgusted. Like Aaron said, we were emotionally invested and have been for these last two games. And our emotions are hurt. How do you feel? Let's go to, is this real? Chill? All right. Let's go to Chill. You say Chicago, but what's out of town? We're all from Chicago or Chicagoland area.
Yeah, I know they always say that, right? I'm on the west side.
All right. Chill from the west side. So you agree with Aaron where, like, the team is kind of where they're supposed to be right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, because the key word that you use right there is team, right? This unit that just got put together is brand new. The team they lost to Green Bay with the boy Love, he's been in that system for 4 years. That team been together. Even though they're the youngest team in the league, they still been together for 4 years with the same coordinators. And the same thing with Tampa. They got players that and teams that drafted and scouted these players specifically for these games and specifically for these teams, and they had seasons to develop them, bro. Squad, don't know. I mean, you got a first-time coordinator, first-time head coach, first-time defensive coordinator. You know they weren't going to come together like that, man. It's almost impossible. I don't care. More, they say most businesses take 5 years before you can tell if it's going to be a success or a failure.
These are great points.
Give it the time and need.
Yeah, these are great points. Don't hang up on them just yet, Tyler. Just leave them right there. I'm going to ask them a follow-up question. But you bring up some great points, and two of them in particular. One, you know, the team that the Bears have lost to have been together for quite some time. Like, at least the core of it, whether it be the coaching staff or, you know, some of the main players that are there, that is a fact. That's a great, great observation there, both Tampa and Green Bay.
Green Bay, right.
And Chill, here's what I've said. Here's what I said today specifically. So I did the post game, Fox 32, with Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear. That's my guy. And we were talking, and I said, Corey, the Bears are at a place now, right, where think about, Chill, whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever job you had, you know, think back to like your first day, right, you know, and you, of course you're not going to be as good at that job on your first day as you are a couple years in, right? Or when you start, you know, you're trash, and then, but what do? Right? You figure it out. You try to get more efficient. You try to be better at it. And I think where the Bears are at right now, and it speaks exactly to your point, Chill. First year coordinator, first time coordinator, first time head coach, you know, first time GM. And the hope is
quarterback. Don't know what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. But the hope is, right? The hope is that after these first two games that the right people were hired, right? Because, again, we can find similarities between regular jobs and the NFL. You hope that you hire the right people, right? Even though they suck in the present, that you hire the right people that they can pick themselves up, make adjustments, and change things. You saw the Bears do it last year with Luke Getsy after they realized that Justin Fields can't throw and they got to run the ball. They did a really good job of adjusting. And so hopefully they have the guys that can do that, because then the season can't be salvageable, right? But if they keep going on this path and leaving this disgusting taste in our mouth week in and week out, that's when it's going to be tough. But you talked about the team, Chill. But talk to me about Justin Fields. How do you feel about him?
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I'm a very superstitious person. I hated the fact that he wore number one. There is not a quarterback or athlete in any team sport that wears that number and is successful.
Derrick Rose.
I promise you that. You can go look at that.
Derrick Rose.
But the thing that I want you to, but he got hurt. Remember how he got hurt and his career got cut short.
But I'll take an MVP from Justin Fields.
You saw the potential, but just let me get this one quick, then you can hang up on me, right? When you look at the rest of their schedule, I spoke earlier about the teams or organizations that was drafted and put together, and they had time together. The rest of the schedule, besides Minnesota and Detroit, those teams are very shaky. They can still get that 9-win season. But please, if you're listening, Ryan Poles, please, when Nate Davis come back, put him at center. Leave that boy Carter out there because he's a dog.
I love it. Thanks for
Darnell Wright is a dog.
Thanks for the call, Chill. I appreciate it, man. I love calls like that. I love talking to you guys. Because that's what we're here for, man. The cool thing about 670 The Score, you know, when they say live and local, they mean it. I'm a Chicago kid, born and raised right here. Love the Bears just like you do. Emotionally invested, the way Aaron was saying earlier. I mean, but I love that we can have this conversation right now. So the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Going to take them next. Do not go anywhere. Keep them coming in. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local on a football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Play action on the first play. Fields well protected and a strike for DJ Moore. They don't waste any time today. Moore's got a big game. Only two touches all last week. He's got 32 yards on the first play.
Now, this is a great job by Luke Getsy because you read about it all week long. You know, hey, DJ Moore's out there. You only targeted him twice, and he made two catches. You know, why don't you get him into the game plan and more? And here you go. First play of the game, a nice throw down the field to DJ Moore.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, live and local for your listening pleasure. Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 27-17. Justin Fields had an opportunity. 2 minutes left in the game, down three, ball in his hand. It's almost as if no one, I've been listening and talking and reading, and no one's really discussing that part, where that was a big knock on Justin Fields last year. The inability to come through with the fourth quarter touchdown. Had his opportunity, and it wasn't as if it wasn't as though he went three and out, or you know, it's just the worst possible scenario ever. And then that three play little run where it was like this a penalty, just so bad.
I don't know if this is over exaggerating to you or not, Gabe. I heard a lot of people call him the three quarter quarterback because he wasn't getting it done in crunch time.
I don't even want to hear that.
That hurt a lot last year.
I don't want to hear that this year either. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Roberto out in Lincoln Park. So, Roberto, for you, what did you think the issue was for the Chicago Bears today?
Yeah, okay. I'll keep it short. You know, the thing is that, you know, Justin Field, he's a good quarterback. He's like a running back and quarterback. The problem is they got to figure out how to protect him. He doesn't have any protection. And like you were saying, that he needs to be consistent, but it's hard for him to be consistent when he's trying to avoid to be tackled by other players. And that last quarter, when I was watching the game, he was not getting any protection at all. So they need to work on that, protecting the quarterback. I think better than the guy from the quarterback from Buffalo. The reason he is the quarterback from Buffalo is successful and consistent because he has the protection. And like the Cincinnati Bengals last year, they had the quarterback, he had the protection. They're not protecting him. That's why he's always running around trying not to get tackled because he's not getting the protection. They need to work on that.
Thank you very much, Roberto. I appreciate the phone call. And, of course, I mean, you could point to the offensive line. Braxton Jones didn't necessarily have his best game. We saw Doug Kramer come in for Lucas Patrick at one point, have a faulty snap that Justin Fields should have caught. To be very clear, you can complain about the snap and the speed of it and the location of it, but you can't say Justin Fields athletic and then give him a pass for not catching a ball that was slowly thrown at his face. Like, come on, you got to catch that. But the offensive line, I mean, it is tough. The Bears are a work in progress. And I would try to tell anybody that would listen, they're one injury up from the offensive line from having last year's offensive line.
And we knew they were going up against a really good D-line in Tampa Bay.
Exactly. So, and they blitzed a lot. I kept thinking about Jalen Carter as I was thinking about the offense, Bears offensive line, and saying to myself, could the Bears have gotten Jalen Carter this year and then got two offensive linemen with their first two picks next year and then really solidified it next year and still had to, things I think about. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. This man, I have no idea why he's up right now. Marshall Harris. Marshall, what up, man? What are you doing, bro?
So, like, the way it works is, we have a doubleheader on CBS, so 60 Minutes comes on late, and then that pushes prime time programming back, and then I don't get off the air until like 11:45, and I jump in my car, and it's like, Gabe Ramirez is on?
Oh, man,
it's
great.
5 a.m.? I love it.
So you're driving you're driving to the station right now, or what?
No. I'm driving home. I just drove home from work. I'm at the house, bro. You talking about your tacos? I was like, I'm about to have a slice of pizza. Yeah, I'm about to heat up. But I also have to get off these hot takes. I was like, I was like, Gabe will listen to me.
Of course I will. All right, this is Marshall Harris from CBS 2. So we are getting a nice little exclusive right here. So we're going to get some minutes from you. I'm going to steal a couple of your minutes. So, come on. A guy like Aaron from Lansing calls in and says, like, we shouldn't be overreacting. This is what we expected from the Bears to be, you know, 7-win team. But it's the way they're losing, right, Marshall?
Yeah. I mean, okay, listen. So the Lions got off to a horrible start last year. You remember this, right?
Yep.
But they were in those games, okay? Like, I remember watching the Lions on Thanksgiving Day barely lose to the Bills. It was like, oh, the Lions are coming. Like, the Lions are there. Like, they've won a few games. They've lost some close games. They're there. You watch week one of this year and the Bears, and you're like, oh, we picked up where we left off and not in a good way. Okay? It's like DJ Moore didn't exist. Now, to the Bears' credit, to Justin Fields' credit, they got that man the ball on the first drive of the game. The problem with Justin Fields is, one, he takes too long to get rid of the ball.
Way too long.
Like, entirely too long. Like, you can't make excuses for that. That can't be excused. You're an NFL starting quarterback in year three. Get rid of the ball. Number two, the inconsistency is wild. That first drive, you were like, okay, this is what I was looking for last week. This is exactly what I was looking for, right? And then when they're down 20-10 and he goes 6-for-6 on a drive, I was like, okay, you take that first drive, you take this drive, I need more of this. But you can't ignore everything else that happened in that game. The man has taken 10 sacks in 2 weeks. He's on pace to give you 85 sacks this year.
Oh, my God.
Only one quarterback has taken more sacks than him. His name's C.J. Stroud. How many years has he been in the league?
Right. And they both have one thing in common.
Yeah, you know what that one thing is.
Yes, we do. Ohio State.
Everybody
University.
That went to that school will let you know where they're from.
That is so funny.
So you're looking at that. But one thing, we're so concentrating on Justin Fields. Can we just take a step back from the Justin Fields debacle? And that's what it is right now, is a debacle. I'm not saying he won't figure it out. I am saying I don't know if he will figure it out. Other people who work at your station full time told me I was crazy and told all the listeners they were crazy to not be all in on Justin Fields. How's that looking right now, Gabe?
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to drop names. I'm just going to tell you. That was wild then. Everybody needs to be an honorary Missourian and be like, yo, you got to show me. Okay?
Fair.
But that's not what happens. Instead, we're subjected to the same old, same old. And when I say take a step back from Justin Fields, this is what I'm talking about. The Bears have lost 12 games in a row. It's a franchise worst losing streak. But that's not the point. The point is you hired a defensive head coach instead of an offensive head coach when you knew you had a quarterback who needed to be developed. So at least have the defense be good. But all I know is the team that's lost 12 games in a row is the first team in NFL history to lose 12 games in a row and give up at least 25 points in all 12 of those games.
Which is unreal when you think about
that. Which is unreal.
It's unreal. And here's the next level to that statement is, now that you've lost to the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where do those wins come from? Like, if you look at the schedule, if you're not beating those teams and not even competing with those teams, you're losing by more than one score. how are you going to compete against any other? Now I'm curious. Today, the thought crossed my mind. Bears might get the number one pick in the draft. It crossed my mind.
Calendar. Christmas Eve. Circle on your calendar. You know what goes down on Christmas Eve, right?
My family party?
No. Oh, you know what goes on the football field on Christmas Eve?
What goes down on the football field?
A certain team from the state of Arizona comes and visits Soldier Field.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Circle it on your calendar, bruh. Because okay. If things continue to go the way they're going right now, the loser of that game?
Yeah.
Caleb Williams. Unless Caleb Williams says, I want to go to a team that develops quarterbacks.
Or right, knows what they're doing.
I'm going to take this NIL money and stay in school.
Talking to Marshall Harris here from CBS 2, 670 The Score. You're taking the place of a guest right now because I have none, so this is great. But I want to go back to your statement about the inconsistency and how wild it is. I think people need to really focus on that, right? Because it is very Kanye West-ish, where like one moment you have a very good moment and everyone likes you, and then the next moment you have a really bad moment and everyone hates you, and they're too few and far between. They're not consistent enough. And I think to me, that's the most worrisome part about Justin Fields. You go on a 6-for-6 drive and throw lasers and make all the right plays. Protection looks good. And you wonder why those highs are so few and far between. Why is that? Why can't he do that more often?
And he looked in complete rhythm on that drive, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what was crazy about it. He looked in rhythm like, okay, this is the guy that y'all were selling me, and I'm all in. And I think the bigger issue is, when you say few and far between, the bright spots, it's only been two games. I'm giving you that. But the bright spots have been few and far between. And here's why I was excited, and what you said was hilarious, because you're like, well, the last 2 minutes of the game, you know, you're waiting like a kid's waiting for his dad to come back and show up on Christmas. Like, but the thing is, we didn't even need him to get a touchdown. We just need him to go about 60 yards.
And no one had faith in that either, though. No, like, I did not have faith that Justin Fields was going to get the ball down the field and the Bears were going to – like, no part of me felt that way. It was more like, so what's going to happen now?
And Shaq Barrett justified all your feelings?
Oh, my God. It was so
Why are we calling back-to-back screenplays? Like veterans on the other side can't figure out what's going on.
Literally, I was talking to Corey about this, and we're like – he's like, Gabe, back-to-back screenplays? He's like, as a defender, as a former defensive lineman, he's like, you call the first one – like, to fool me, you know? He's like, but if you do it back-to-back, well, it's in my mind still. It's in my brain, like, that you just did it. So I'm more prepared than I would be. He's like, I have zero idea what's going on. And I'm here's a statement. Tyler, try to pull this clip up. It's of Eberflus, and I'm going to probably just be saying exactly what he just said. But he's like, when they asked him, it was the first question of his press conference. They're like, so, screenplay. You know, what are you thinking right there? It's like right out the gate. And I am sick and tired of this one. Well, if it works, you guys will be patting me on the back. No, no, no. We still think it's stupid. You want to know why? Two back-to-back screenplays. It's exactly what Marshall Harris is saying. No, we would not say that. We would say this is not a good idea. The game plan has to involve something else other than this. But it was funny that was the first thing out the gate, because it was right. It was like, dude, back-to-back plays. Like, even in like Madden, if you're playing a video game, you wouldn't necessarily do that. So that, oh my God, just.
Listen, your frustration is real. The city of Chicago's frustration is real. Remember, I'm an interloper. I'm an outsider. I've only been here for 2 years, right? But let me tell you something. I've learned a lot in those 2 years about the Bears, about this fan base, about how things are perceived. And what kills me is it feels a lot like Groundhog Day right now.
Yes.
And it shouldn't feel like Groundhog Day when I've already covered two different regimes for the organization. You know what I'm saying? Like two heads.
But that's just it, right? Like, you said you've been here for 2 years, but that's it. Is that that's what we do here. We literally just get new people in and we say to ourselves, how do we have new people yet we have the same problems? It's like we're living in bizarro land here in Chicago because the same stuff keeps happening. Trust me, it's like the fact that you go from Mitchell Trubisky to Justin Fields and you have the same exact problems with your quarterback, like someone that can't be consistent, someone that struggles with turnovers, fumbling the ball, throwing interceptions, like and yet there's still this gap between expectation and reality that us as Bears fans we're not willing to actually see and acknowledge. That's the most frustrating part.
And I don't want to let Ryan Poles off the hook because I saw Yannick Ngakoue get back there and pretend like he was about to sack Baker Mayfield, and right. It didn't work out for him, right? I saw Jaquan Brisker hands like feet, right?
Yeah.
Like he had a chance to make a play at the beginning of the game. But bottom line is this, man. Not only have you given up 25 points or more in 12 straight games, you don't have a single takeaway through two games. Mm. You're minus -4 in turnover margin. Where does that lead you when you're minus -4 in turnover margin through two games, tied for second worst turnover margin in the league?
Right.
It's hard to win when you turn the ball over. Last I checked, the his principle was supposed to be working the other way.
Yeah.
This is going to create chaos and turnovers, and Matt, it has not transpired. The first year, I will give you a pass. You were obviously tanking to get a high draft pick and ended up, thanks to Lovie Smith, with the number one overall pick.
Mm.
But now, through two games, and you know what's up next on the menu? You see who's on deck?
Doesn't get easier for the Chicago Bears, I'll tell you that. Marshall.
Listen, I'm a pragmatist, bro. I'm just trying to give it to you
real.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to go too high, too low. I'm right down the middle. I'm going to call it like I see it.
I got you. All right, well, while you're eating your slice of pizza and you're listening on the Odyssey app, if you feel so compelled to call back in the next hour, please feel free to do so. I'll be here till 5 o'clock.
I will be going to sleep very shortly, Gabe, but I appreciate you, man.
Hey,
hold it down, man.
Did you sign up for hoops? No.
No, because I have to work tomorrow. I have to work early tomorrow. If I didn't, I would be back in there. My back is good. I'm good. I'm ready to do things.
All right. Marshall Harris, CBS 2. Get some sleep, man. Have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate y'all.
Got you. Marshall Harris, again, check him out. Good dude. I play basketball every Monday. Every Monday. Been doing it for damn near a decade, but it's during the day. So, like, I'm going to be playing in 12 hours. And so I invited Marshall Harris one time to play with us. There's been a couple people that I've invited to play here at the station. Dougie Styles, does that name ring a bell for you, Tyler? He used to work down the hall, and now he works at Q101. But he came to play basketball with us one time, left with a black eye, never came back again. We're physical. We're a physical bunch. Marshall Harris comes to play with us, like dislocates his finger, like has an injury, hurts his back, and didn't come back to play with us for like 6 months. Then he calls me and he's like, "I'm back, Gabe. I'm ready." I'm like, "Nah, bro."
You're guaranteed to have some sort of injury if you play.
No.
The
Here's the thing: you need to be fundamentally sound to play, because we're all playing the right way. So if you're not, like, if you're like a little wacky, just a little wacky, then you're not gonna. You know how that is, right? Like, you play football with someone who don't know how to play football, then obviously that's the guy who gets you hurt, right? Because they're not doing things properly. Anyway, not that they can't play, because Marshall Harris is actually really good, as is Dougie Styles. But again, we'll be playing today. And I'm going to try to stop some of this crying that's happening. We're going to take more calls on the other side. All right, that I promise. Phone lines, got a couple more open. But this is what we're doing. We're taking phone calls. We are live and local. This will not stop. I will be here till 5 o'clock in the morning talking to you. All right? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez starting your football Monday off right here on 670 The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when it works, right? It's great when it works, and when it doesn't, everybody's going to criticize, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. We're going to look at it. We will look at it, you know, back there in that part of the field, and we'll see where it is.
Play action. Mayfield on the roll. Tosses for Evans, who makes a great grab and spins free. Mike Evans to midfield. That is impressive enough that he made the catch. How about turning it into a 37-yard game?
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Back for you for your listening pleasure right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 27-17, Baker Mayfield did his thing as we knew he would, throwing for over 300 yards. You know, when the guy has a couple of weapons, looks pretty good. There's one thing, like, okay, I said it in my Twitter. Matter of fact, if you follow me right now, Chicago_Gabe, you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you guys right back, all right? So follow me, I'll follow you back. I put it on there, I said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather see Tyson Bagent. And when he had a good preseason, I was like, oh, gosh, I hope people aren't like, you know, oh, I want to see Tyson Bagent. And here I am doing exactly that. But listen, tell me Tyson Bagent doesn't have a little Baker Mayfield in him, where like Baker Mayfield at least just looks confident. Like he feels like, oh, yeah, I can make this throw, or yeah, I'll do this.
The swagger.
Just like a quarterback. Like Baker Mayfield, the reason why he'll always have a job in the NFL is because he's a quarterback. He can get that person the ball. He can make the plays. You saw how many times he got out of potential sack situations. And I'm not saying Tyson Bagent is going to be Baker Mayfield, right? But he's more Baker Mayfield than, oh my God, I hate even saying these things. He's more Baker Mayfield than Justin Fields. Justin Fields is Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Go look at his highlights. Go look at his stats. It's unfortunate, but that's a reality. All right, let's take your phone calls. Nobody wants to hear me talk. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Javon out in Rockford. Javon in Rockford. So you bring up a good point. You say you can't regress at the quarterback position. Do you feel like Justin Fields is regressing, or is he simply trying to operate an offense that is different from last year?
Offense looks the same. The coaching staff is not built for the job that they need to do for Justin. And that's saying if Justin is an NFL quarterback. But they do not understand what needs to be done with him if they're going to get any consistency out of him. So long coaching staff, first and foremost. Second of all, what does Justin do better this year than he did last year?
Love that question. Love nothing, that question.
Nothing at all. And that's a problem. Because so like, take me. I'm a musician. Like I've been playing drums since I was 6 years old. Right. So I'm 50 now. I got a lot of young dudes coming to me. Hey man, show me this line. And I'll say something to them. See them 2-3 weeks later. I can tell immediately if they've been practicing. It don't even look like Justin has practiced the things that he was weak on. Since he's been here, he's never anticipated a throw. Even today, outside of two throws, definitely the touchdown to Claypool, he was on time. He couldn't be a beat slow. Otherwise, that's deflected or intercepted. Maybe two or three at best today where he actually kind of anticipated a throw. When he went 6-for-6 on that drive before he threw the interception, all those plays except for one, everybody was wide open. And so, yes, when he has a wide open target, i.e. like in college, yes, he has plenty enough arm to rip it, as I keep hearing. Oh, he can rip it. I don't care about ripping it. Can you anticipate? Do you see open when it's not open? You have to be able to throw a dude open. That's NFL quarterbacking. Justin, I'm sorry, I want Justin to be that dude because we live in Chicago. This has been our team. I'm 50 years old. Of course I want him to be the dude, but you can take a look. He does not do what elite NFL quarterbacks do outside of running. And then, if that's his thing, twice today, post-game, I was watching football at the show. Alex Brown said something. And then I'm flipping on the Jets and Cowboys. Tony Romo said something coming out of halftime about what they're doing to simplify the game for Dak in Dallas. He said, 5 steps on that 5th step, get your hips ready to throw the ball. If that's not there, your first read not there, shift your hips, go to read 2, and then for him, he goes to progression 3, and then if that's not there, they tell him to move. Get up out of there. Justin, 2 at best for him. 5 steps back, your foot hits the ground, you need to throw the ball. If it's not there, look for 2, the second progression. If that's not there, take your ass off.
Yeah, Javon, it's funny that you say that because I was actually watching that Cowboys-Jets game. And the throw from Zach Wilson to Garrett Wilson on that little slant route, it was exactly what you're talking about. Where, okay, Zach Wilson's not the greatest quarterback, but when you have your back foot plant after taking that 3-step drop, you have to believe and have confidence in whatever you're seeing, and you have to let your arm do the talking. And that's exactly what he did in that moment. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait for him to get an extra step open on the receiver. He had a 3-step drop, read the room, and threw it exactly on the numbers to Garrett Wilson. He made a play on it, right? You let your number one receiver make a play on it, which is exactly what he did. And then his speed took over and he took it to the house. You're right. That's one thing that we're not seeing enough from Justin Fields, and that is when that when that third leg, you know what I'm saying? When you're making that three-step drop and that third step happens and that foot hits, how often did, I don't know about you guys, but it happened to me. I don't know about you. I yelled at the screen today at least, and this is, mind you, I'm doing a Bruin view for Miller Lite for Fox 32 for the post game. I'm a representative of a TV station. I'm supposed to be professional as hell. And Corey and I are standing there, and I'm yelling at the screen saying, throw the damn ball. I can't tell you how many times I yelled that at the TV screen today where I'm working like a real fan because Justin Fields would not get rid of the ball. Sometimes you got to just throw it up there, man. How often were people harping on Justin Fields to get rid of to give your guys a shot, a 50-50 ball? Did you see a 50-50 ball being thrown by Justin Fields today? I don't think I did.
I don't think I did either.
Now, unless you want to call the 10-yard out that he threw to Chase Claypool that almost got intercepted, but that's not what a real true 50-50 ball is. True 50-50 ball is 40 yards down the field, letting your guy go up and get it.
One-on-one, down the sideline. Exactly. And the best man gets the football.
Did not see anything like that. Let's go to Jimmy in Orlando. Jimmy, I know it's an hour later out there, so I appreciate you being up late, man. So you're actually heading to the Bears game next week? Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm going to Kansas City, and, you know, it's not looking good, boys. It's this is tough, man. Man, what I'm going to tell you. But, I mean, the whole organization, I mean, the offensive line, I mean, it's a progression. We know that. Justin Fields, I don't think he really sees routes deep, and I think that's obvious. And where are we going with this thing? You know, it's just, you know, I pray we're doing the right thing here, but it's just, I don't see it happening, man. You know, for me, I would, you know, build to Justin Fields' strengths, right? Use his run to set up that pass. And have we done that with this organization? Last year, man, maybe, but not this year. So I like to see just the progression of him maybe being a runner at first, and then maybe that's going to set up his pass, and we'll see where we go. So I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to going to Kansas City. I am a Chicago guy down here in Orlando, so God bless you guys. You're the best. Thank
hey,
you.
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. We always love those that have listened to 670 The Score when they were here in Chicago. They've made their way somewhere else. But the beauty of technology is that you get an opportunity to listen on the Odyssey app. So shout out to Jimmy in Orlando. A lot of people out there. I've been to Kansas City before for a game, for a Bears game. Last time the Bears were out there, some years ago. My family and I, every year we go to a Bears road trip. This year we're going to go see the Chargers, October 29th. I love going Halloween weekend. One, I get to get away from my wife. I could say that because it's 1 a.m. And it's a boys trip, you know, so there's like 15 of us. But you do a Halloween weekend because you want to see how ratchet the city's going to get when you get there. Last year we did Dallas during Halloween weekend. Oh, Deep Ellum. Oh.
That's Halloween weekend again this year, correct?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. Should be some good stuff. We are going to continue to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. I see some people on hold. Going to get to you after the break. We definitely want to talk to you, give you an opportunity so that way you can get some things off your chest. The same reason Marshall Harris called from CBS2. Has some things. I got some things I want to get off my chest. This is the place for it. I am your therapist because I, like you, have empathy, especially for what's going on with this team and how we feel. But I would love to hear from you so we can keep this conversation going. All right, 312-644-6767. What are those Bears thoughts? Let's talk about them. We're live and local on a Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Play action. Mayfield on the roll. Tosses for Evans, who makes a great grab and spins free. Mike Evans to midfield. That was impressive enough that he made the catch. How about turning it into a 37-yard gain?
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Back for you for your listening pleasure right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 27-17, Baker Mayfield did his thing as we knew he would, throwing for over 300 yards. You know, when the guy has a couple of weapons, looks pretty good. There's one thing, like, okay, I said it in my Twitter. Matter of fact, if you follow me right now, Chicago_Gabe, you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you guys right back. All right. So follow me. I'll follow you back. I put it on there. I said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather see Tyson Bagent. And when he had a good preseason, I was like, oh gosh, I hope people aren't like, you know, oh, I want to see Tyson Bagent. And here I am doing exactly that. But listen, tell me Tyson Bagent doesn't have a little Baker Mayfield in him, where like Baker Mayfield at least just looks confident. Like he feels like, oh yeah, I can make this throw, or yeah, I'll do this.
The swagger.
Just like a quarterback. Like Baker Mayfield, the reason why he'll always have a job in the NFL is because he's a quarterback. He can get that person the ball. He can make the plays. You saw how many times he got out of potential sack situations. And I'm not saying Tyson Bagent is going to be Baker Mayfield, right? But he's more Baker Mayfield than, oh my God, I hate even saying these things. He's more Baker Mayfield than Justin Fields. Justin Fields is Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Go look at his highlights. Go look at his stats. It's unfortunate, but that's a reality. All right, let's take your phone calls. Nobody wants to hear me talk. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Javon out in Rockford. Javon in Rockford. So you bring up a good point. You say you can't regress at the quarterback position. Do you feel like Justin Fields is regressing, or is he simply trying to operate an offense that is different from last year?
Offense looks the same. The coaching staff is not built for the job that they need to do for Justin. And that's saying if Justin is an NFL quarterback. But they do not understand what needs to be done with him if they're going to get any consistency out of him. So wrong coaching staff, first and foremost. Second of all, what does Justin do better this year than he did last year?
Love that question. Love that question.
Nothing at all, and that's a problem because so like take me. I'm a musician. Like I've been playing drums since I was 6 years old. Right, so I'm 50 now. I got a lot of young dudes coming to me. Hey man, show me this line, and I'll say something to them. See them 2-3 weeks later. I can tell immediately if they've been practicing. It don't even look like Justin has practiced the things that he was weak on. Since he's been here, he's never anticipated a throw. Even today, outside of two throws, definitely the touchdown to Claypool, he was on time. He couldn't be a beat slow, otherwise that's deflected or intercepted. Maybe two or three at best today where he actually kind of anticipated a throw. When he went 6-for-6 on that drive before he threw the interception, all those plays, except for one, everybody was wide open. And so, yes, when he has a wide open target, i.e. like in college, yes, he has plenty enough arm to rip it, as I keep hearing. Oh, he can rip it. I don't care about ripping it. Can you anticipate? Do you see open when it's not open? You have to be able to throw a dude open. That's NFL quarterbacking. Justin, I'm sorry, I want Justin to be that dude because we live in Chicago. This has been our team. I'm 50 years old. Of course I want him to be the dude, but you can take a look. He does not do what elite NFL quarterbacks do outside of running. And then if that's his thing, twice today, post-game, I was watching the football at the show. Alex Brown said something, and then I'm flipping on the Jets and Cowboys. Tony Romo said something coming out of halftime about what they're doing to simplify the game for Dak in Dallas. He said, five steps on that fifth step, get your hips ready to throw the ball. If that's not there, your first read's not there, shift your hips, go to read two, and then for him, he goes to progression three, and then if that's not there, they tell him to move. Get up out of there. Justin, two at best for him. Five steps back, your foot hits the ground, you need to throw the ball. If it's not there, look for two. The second progression, if that's not there, take your ass off.
Yeah, Javon, it's funny that you say that because I was actually watching that Cowboys-Jets game, and the throw from Zach Wilson to Garrett Wilson on that little slant route, it was exactly what you're talking about. Where, okay, Zach Wilson's not the greatest quarterback, but when you have your back foot plant after taking that three-step drop, you have to believe and have confidence in whatever you're seeing and you have to let your arm do the talking. And that's exactly what he did in that moment. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait for him to get an extra step open on the receiver. He had a three-step drop, read the room, and threw it exactly on the numbers to Garrett Wilson. He made a play on it, right? You let your number one receiver make a play on it, which is exactly what he did. And then his speed took over, and he took it to the house. You're right. That's one thing that we're not seeing enough from Justin Fields, and that is when that third leg, you know what I'm saying, when you're making that three-step drop and that third step happens and that foot hits, how often did – I don't know about you guys, but it happened to me. I don't know about you. I yelled at the screen today at Lee, and this is – mind you, I'm doing a Bruin view for Miller Lite for Fox 32 for the post game. I'm a representative of a TV station. I'm supposed to be professional as hell, and Corey and I are standing there, and I'm yelling at the screen saying, throw the damn ball! I can't tell you how many times I yelled that at the TV screen today, where I'm working, like a real fan, because Justin Fields would not get rid of the ball. Sometimes you got to just throw it up there, man. How often were people harping on Justin Fields to get rid of the, or to give your guys a shot, a 50-50 ball? Did you see a 50-50 ball being thrown by Justin Fields today? I don't think I did.
I don't think I did either.
Now, unless you want to call the 10-yard out that he threw to Chase Claypool that almost got intercepted, but that's not what a real true 50-50 ball is. True 50-50 ball is 40 yards down the field, letting your guy go up and get it.
One-on-one, down the sideline.
Exactly.
And best man gets the football.
Did not see anything like that. Let's go to Jimmy in Orlando. Jimmy, I know it's an hour later out there, so I appreciate you being up late, man. So you're actually heading to the Bears game next week? Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm going to Kansas City, and you know, it's not looking good, boys. It's this is tough, man. Man, what I'm going to tell you, but I mean, the whole organization. I mean, the offensive line. I mean, it's a progression. We know that Justin Fields. I don't think he really sees routes deep, and I think that's obvious. And that, where are we going with this thing? You know, it's just. You know, I pray we're doing the right thing here, but it's just I don't see it happening, man. You know, for me, I would build to Justin Fields' strengths, right? Use his run to set up that pass, and have we done that with this organization? Last year, man, maybe, but not this year. So I like to see the progression of him maybe being a runner at first, and then. Maybe that's going to set up his pass, and we'll see where we go. So I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to going to Kansas City. I am a Chicago guy down here in Orlando, so God bless you guys. You're the best. Thank
you. Appreciate the call, Jimmy. We always love those that have listened to 670 The Score when they were here in Chicago. They've made their way somewhere else. But the beauty of technology is that you get an opportunity to listen on the Odyssey app. So shout out to Jimmy in Orlando. A lot of people out there. I've been to Kansas City before for a game, for a Bears game, last time the Bears were out there, some years ago. My family and I, every year we go to a Bears road trip. This year we're going to go see the Chargers, October 29th. I love going Halloween weekend. One, I get to get away from my wife. I could say that because it's 1 a.m. And it's a boys trip, you know, so there's like 15 of us. But you do a Halloween weekend because you want to see how ratchet the city's going to get when you get there. Last year we did Dallas during Halloween weekend. Oh, Deep Ellum. Oh.
That's Halloween weekend again this year, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. Should be some good stuff. We are going to continue to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. I see some people on hold. Going to get to you after the break. We definitely want to talk to you, give you an opportunity so that way you can get some things off your chest. It's the same reason Marshall Harris called from CBS2. Has some things. I got some things I want to get off my chest. This is the place for it. I am your therapist because I, like you, have empathy, especially for what's going on with this team and how we feel. But I would love to hear from you so we can keep this conversation going. All right, 312-644-6767. What are those Bears thoughts? Let's talk about them. We're live and local on a football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.